reaffirm your stance in Christ. That you stand only on Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. If you are not standing on Christ, every other place sinks. If you are not standing in Christ, every other place is an unstable ground. Father, we return all praise unto you. Thank you, mighty Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for your love and kindness. Take all the glory, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Can we just pray for ourselves, even as the word comes forth, that God will speak to us. We will hear that which the Spirit of the Lord is expressing through the word today in the name of Jesus. That God himself will speak to your heart. God alone will grant you understanding. The scripture says, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that indeed your heart will be open to that which the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Take all the honor, take all the glory, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can we take our seats? Amen. Can we be seated? Amen. Praise be God forevermore. How do I start? Okay. Today we'll be looking at, we're still looking at our topic, dwelling in the preceding word. And today we'll backtrack a little. I am happy to hear, you know, when there is something we as a church want to understand and you let us know as the chaplaincy, it is our duty. We are humble enough to accept it and also to teach. Amen. And today we'll be backtracking on the same dwelling in the preceding word. We will backtrack a little bit to do some check from the Old Testament and then we'll drive down into the new. Praise be the name of the Lord. When we talk about the preceding word, I would like to cast our minds back into the Old Testament before we get into the new. Praise be the name of the Lord. The primary thrust of the gospel is not that we are committed to God, but that God is committed to us. This is what you should have in your background, the background of your mind. That number one thing you must understand is that God is committed to you more than you are committed to him. Praise be God. Our commitment is only a response to his commitment. Amen. And the gospel is what God did through Jesus Christ for us. And that thing is what a New Testament that turned to what is called the preceding word. But like I said, we are backtracking. Amen. Now, what do we mean by this? In the old, when God wanted to speak to us, when God wanted to speak to man, he spoke to man through his covenants. And that is why we have what is called the Noahic, the Abrahamic, Adamic covenant. We have what is called the Noahic, that is the covenant of Noah. We have the Abrahamic covenant. We have the Davidic covenants. But anytime God wants to speak to man, you discover that in the old, God was using covenants to speak mainly to men. And so today we'll be looking at the background of this covenant that later translated to what we call the spoken word, or rather the preceding word in the New Testament. Praise be the name of the Lord. Covenants are known through several civilizations. All right? Especially what we call the blood covenant. If you look at the things that has to do with the Vikings and all these things, I don't want to go into that history. Their initiations were solely by covenants. Joining any part of them was solely by covenant. I am sure for many of us that have watched one Nigerian film or the other, basically that's what they always show us. You will discover that when a person is about to be initiated into something, he goes into a covenant. Most of them use what is called a blood covenant. Now, that blood covenant that they go into keeps that the covering of that place or the protection of the house now comes upon the person because the person has entered into a covenant with them. For instance, when I was in the university, there is this thing cultists used to, they call it tapping. They'll come and tap you. Tapping means like like luring the person to join. It's called tapping. They will come and they begin to tell you that, oh boy, you join us, you will not need to write exams. You know, they begin to tell you things like that. Why? Because you are under their umbrella now, so to speak. That's what they use. They begin to incite you that any girl you want in the campus, you know, those kind of sweet mouth things. That is how they come to do. Now, when a person joins them, they feel that the covering of their authority now covers the person. Am I communicating? So, when a blood covenant is taken, the person that cuts into the covenant goes into the protection of that other one, of the other person. Am I communicating? So the lower person goes into a covenant and then becomes under the protection of the higher one. For instance, when God cut a covenant with Abraham, Abraham was the lower person. But God is merciful. My God. Abraham was supposed to find himself in the mercies of God. Why? Because he was cutting a covenant with God. But see how merciful God is. God was the one that cut the covenant on behalf of Abraham to himself. But let me still use that as an example now. At the end of the day, Abraham came under the protection of God. Now that is the essence of a covenant. For one to have a protection, a covering. Hallelujah. And then, in that covering, there are what is called like a modus operandi, like a scheme of do's and don'ts. So that when you are under that covenant, there are things you should be doing and there are things you shouldn't do. Am I communicating? We don't play with blood covenant in any sense. Hallelujah. And in this covenant, it is said that when you enter into a covenant with God, everything that belongs to you is handed over to God. And everything that belongs to God is handed over to you. Please, people of God, I want you to follow me. I'm setting a background. Everything that belongs to you now is in God's hands. And everything that belongs to God is now in you. Am I communicating? Thus, what are we saying here? What are we saying here? It becomes that when you enter into a covenant that God has made a promise that he will fight for you and then you become untouched. It means that God becomes your all. God becomes everything about you. So you are now hidden in Christ or in God. As from the old covenant, you are now hidden in Christ. You are now under the protection of God. Have you noticed that all those men that cut a covenant with God, there was a certain protection that was over their lives? Even when they sinned, they didn't die. Look at David, for instance. Look at Moses. With all the touch the rock, he hit him. Break her like coconut. Yet, God was still merciful unto him. Praise be the name of the Lord. A covenant is the highest and most sacred agreement known to man. Its ties are far more binding than family ties. A covenant is unbreakable. It is based is resulting on an absolute union between two parties, which are all assets. What does this mean? It means that when you go into this covenant, that you have an absolute union in these two aspects of life, meaning that your talents become shared, your debt becomes shared, and your liabilities become shared within these two parties. So any debt that you are into as a man is now shared between you and God. Anything that is of a talent to you is now shared between you and God, and God carries a majority of your debts, if not all. Covenant. Now, what were the reasons for this blood covenant that was taken in the old? Number one, there are four basic reasons for the covenant. Number one was for protection. People of God, follow me, please. Number one reason for the covenant was protection. Anybody that went into a covenant, like we earlier shared, goes into the protection of the higher being, that is God. Number two, it was for business. It was for business. It means we talked about sharing liabilities and debts. We talked about sharing profits. That was the business. In this kingdom, our business is the business of God. Number three, it was for love. The reason why this covenant was for, it's for love. For instance, example of this, marriage. Because of the love you have for each other, you go into a covenant. That is called the union. That is called the marriage. Now, that is one of the reasons. Number four, friendship. Number four, friendship. And you can find that between David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18, 3 to 4. You will find that in Samuel when him and Jonathan had a covenant relationship. People of God, listen. In church today, there are covenant relationships that we have. And that covenant relationship is what we call fellowship of today. And what were the methods of this covenant? Please stay with me. I want to understand something. So that when we go into the new, you will start picking these points and we'll start making a relation with them. Praise be the name of the Lord. What were the methods of blood covenant? Number one, the cutting of the palms or the hands. The cutting of the palms and the hands, or the hands rather. Sometimes this is also done after cutting at the point of the blood, they shake hands with it. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, cutting of the wrists. Number two, cutting of the wrists. And mingling the blood together. Number three, drinking each other's blood. This is prohibited strongly in the Bible. Drinking each other's blood. And then number four, substitution with an animal or the animal's blood. Substitution with an animal or the animal's blood. People of God, have you noticed that these forms or this method of covenant, you will find it on the cross with Jesus Christ. I said, let's get this foundation so that when we hit, when we start relating it, please follow me gradually. Amen. How are these blood covenants enacted, or how are they put together? Number one, there's what is called the exchange of gifts or possessions. The exchange of gifts or possessions. How to enact blood covenants? Number one, exchange of gifts or possession. Number two, their sword or belt were given to each other. Then number three, exchange of names, just like we have in marriage. And then how God turned Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. Exchange of names. Then number four, cutting of the covenant itself. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this brings me back to the new. Praise be the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, our anchor scripture, it says, can I have Matthew 4, 4? It says, and his answer, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, people of God, listen. After all these covenants were done, God needed a perfect example so that man will not have to pass through this. Imagine that we have to use animals for sacrifices every now and then. With our population of today, I don't think there'll be any animals left on earth. With our population, if for every sin, man has to do an atonement with the blood of an animal, or you will cut your wrist to go into another covenant, even your own blood would have finished. Probably wouldn't have had wrists or fingers. Now, God from time immemorial made a covenant so that man will have an everlasting covenant that will be speaking for man at every time. Please understand this. A covenant need to be on a standby that every time man falls, that covenant will stand in atonement for man. Am I communicating? So now listen, that covenant now became what is called the word. That covenant now became what is called what? The word. Jesus Christ became that covenant. So you don't need to repeat all this covenant of the old, because there is a standing covenant that stands for you. And then it is told us that it is not everything that Jesus answered them. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Now listen. Jesus, God is called, Jesus is still called the bread of life. Am I communicating right? Now, inasmuch as man needs food, natural food for existence, it is now telling you that that covenant will stand for you, that you will forever be needing that proceeding covenant. That covenant that will not just speak for you once and that is all, but even as I have spoken at this first time, it continues to speak for you as it was yesterday, it shall continue to be today, and it shall continue to be tomorrow, so that you do not have to pay the covenant price of yesterday. Is somebody understanding me? So it says, but man shall live by the proceeding word. I said, what did I say the proceeding means? Just imagine you change that word to covenant. So man shall live by the proceeding covenant. Not the covenant that you caught for a time T. Not the covenant that you caught for a certain situation. But a one covenant that will keep speaking for every other thing. Hallelujah. Christianity is fundamentally a word-based faith. So what did God do to man? He gave you a word, a proceeding word, a proceeding covenant. A covenant that will keep speaking for you every now and then. Where you fall, that covenant will speak. So even when you make a mistake today and tomorrow, even for that one that you are about to do tomorrow that is unknown to you, the covenant that was caught with Christ will continue to speak for you. So you do not have to do an atonement. And so Christianity became a word faith confession. So the more you keep confessing that proceeding word for your life, the more you are doing the sacrifice of the covenant of the old. So what does this mean? Instead of doing the covenant, you speak the word. Why? Because somebody paid the price and then gave the word validity, gave the word integrity, gave the word substance by his singular atonement for the sin of man, by his singular price and covenant that was caught upon his life. Meaning that anything that proceeded out of the mouth of God is what you should live by. So the word became your covenant. The word became your sacrifice. All you need to do, say it. Praise the name of the Lord. Our walk with God, our growth, our stability, and our victory are all connected to the word of God. So for you to make it activated, you just say it. You just say that thing, that is all. See, Christianity is faith-based, but that faith is based on your confession. So what does that proceeding word come to do for you? The proceeding word come to you to stand as the word that you just speak it and say it. The same way you go to the place to do the covenant, to cut the man used to cut himself or bring an animal. Jesus Christ is there for you today, tomorrow, and even till eternity come. So all you need to do, when you find yourself in the situation that you need to cut a covenant, or you need to go into an agreement with the higher being, that is God, you need to enter into that agreement for your security, for your provision, for your guidance, for whatever it is. You just speak the word and speak it. It stands the same thing as those covenants were doing. Am I communicating? However, scripture reveals that there is a difference between the written word and what is called the proceeding word. People of God, listen to me. There is a difference between what is called the written word and what is called the proceeding word. Or let me start this way. The word that we have in the Bible are of two types. There is what is called the written word, and then there is what is called the action word, or rather the proceeding word. The word that was written can be for yesterday, but the word that is the proceeding is for today and tomorrow. Let's just go into some key definitions this evening.
What do we mean by the word here? The word of God is the self-expression of God. The word of God is the self-expression of God. The word of God is God expressing himself. What does this mean? Or what is he expressing? God is communicating, one, his nature. Two, his will. And three, his intentions. What is God doing? I say, God is communicating. I said, the word of God is the self-expression of God. And this self-expression of God is communicating three things. Number one, we say his nature. Number two, we say his will. And number three, his intentions. Scripturally, the word operates primarily in two dimensions. Scripturally, the word operates in two dimensions. Now, these are the two dimensions of the word. This is the part that most of us know very well. Number one is called the Logos. The Logos. And number two is called the Rhema. Please write this one down. Number one, dimensions of the word. Dimensions. Please mark this. Dimensions of the word. Number one is the Logos. And number two is Rhema. Now, let's pick the one after the other. What is this Logos that we're talking about? Logos refers to the written, revealed, and established counsel of God as preserved in Scripture. Can I have John 1:1? Logos is said to be the written, revealed, and established counsel of God as preserved in Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Logos. This is Jesus Christ explained. This is Jesus Christ expressed. Listen, people of God, what we fail to understand is that if this Word does not become flesh in you, the manifestation of the Word becoming flesh in you, you will not have results. Let me not be faster. Amen. So what does this Logos come to help us do? Logos provide us with what is called Christian doctrines. Or if you put doctrines, it's okay. The Logos help us to establish what is called doctrines or Christian doctrines. Number two, it gives us the foundation for life. Logos, the word, gives us the foundation for life. And then thirdly, it gives us the boundaries of truth. Don't forget, I said, the Logos provide us with doctrines, foundations, Christian foundation, and the boundaries for truth. Please mark this. And what is Rhema? What is Rhema? This refers to the spoken, present. Hallelujah. Bani. Praise be the name of the Lord. Rhema refers to the spoken, present, and applied word of God. Rhema is what refers to the spoken, present, and the applied word of God. In other words, it is the communication of God's will to a person or a people in a specific time and context. In a specific time and what? Context. Can I have Romans 10:17? So then faith comes by hearing. And what? Hearing by the word of God. Now, people of God, listen to this. Your faith comes by hearing. It didn't say hear. It didn't say faith comes when you hear. It put it hearing. It's a continuous thing. Am I communicating?
It says hearing. It didn't say faith comes when you hear the word of God and hear by the word of God. No. It says faith comes by what? Hearing. And then what? Hearing by the word of God. People of God, it means there are two things involved here. There is a hearing that is not of the word of God. So, proceeding means this hearing. It means constantly. It comes for every day. Listen, there was a word for yesterday. And that logos for yesterday is different from the word of today. So what you continue to run the race of life with is the rhema from the word that you receive. Can I paint this picture? Can I paint this picture? Your word base, the word of God that you have on you is the logos. The one that you run your daily activity with becomes the rhema. I don't know that somebody understands me. It's like when you say, it's like fuel and engine oil. Engine oil, they constant. But fuel, you need to be topping it every now and then. If you run a distance, you have to renew the fuel, Abi. But the engine oil stays a longer period, at least, before you will change compared to the fuel. So let me just use this for example's sake. The logos becomes the engine oil. It has to be there as a base in you. It has to be there on your inside. Jesus need to be on the inside. That was why the word was God and the word was God. The word was God in John 1:1. So that word need to be your base on the inside. Why? You need a continuous one for every day, but they must have a base on the logos. There is no rhema that can come without a logos. The proceeding word. What do we mean by the proceeding word now? Definition for the third one now. What do we mean by the proceeding word? The proceeding word refers specifically to rhema. The proceeding word refers specifically to what? To rhema. Meaning, the word of God that is what? One, present. Two, that is active. Three, that is contextual. And what? That is released by God to sustain life, to sustain direction, and to sustain obedience for what? For now. I take this definition again. What is rhema? What is the proceeding word? The proceeding word refers specifically to rhema. That is the word of God that is for what? The present, that is active, that is contextual, within a context, contextual, that is released by God to sustain life, to give direction, and obedience for what? For now. Let me put it this way. You know, we are clay in the hands of God, right? We are clay. He's the potter, right? The rough form of that clay is without shape, is void. Let me use the Old Testament language. It's without shape, shapeless. Tohu bohu. In Genesis, that's what it was. So it's like that. Now, listen. That unshaped, uncarved position is the logos. So when it is being processed into something fine, it takes a procedure. There are times, if you meet these people that do clay work, there is a time that they will mold the thing and reach a certain place. They will stop, because if they add other thing to it, it will dent what they have already formed at the bottom. So they form maybe like the base first. Maybe when they are trying to make a verse, they do the shape and it comes to a certain place, they stay, because if they curve it this way, it might collapse. So they allow the one that is down to dry up and solidify. Now, that is how rhema is. The rhema that formed the bottom for yesterday might be entirely different from the one that will build up for today. Rhema changes from time to time. It is not constant. And that timing for change depends on how God wants to express himself to you as a person. In Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4 uses the expression that proceeded, indicating continuous action, not a one-time event. It is a continuous action. It is not a one-time event. It is continuous. You know, that's why sometimes what you saw me doing was that I was speaking some of those words and making you understand what it means. That's why when we say look up from the hills, from where your help comes from. Because sometimes, even with our word base, when trouble comes our way, the application becomes difficult. We know it. We have the word base. Do you know, but it's easier to tell somebody, be strong. But when it happened to you, you go forget, say be strong, then scripture. It is easy for us to tell somebody, it is well. Make it happen to you. To say it is well to yourself becomes a problem. So it means that to apply the rhema at such points becomes uneasy for you as a Christian. So what are we saying here? It says, man shall not live by bread, but that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Proceeded means it is continuous. Meaning that no matter what happened of yesterday, if you were able to test it, today's one you should have the ability again. So this rhema we are talking about is also means ability to apply the word of God.
Hallelujah. Please, if you are with me, shout amen. Amen. Praise God.
In other words, God speaking is not only historical, it is continuous. In other words, it is not historical. It is not telling you of what of yesterday. It is telling you of what is of now and even coming into the future. It is not a historic point. God is telling you and making a reference to now and tomorrow. But don't forget, logos is also important for the history. Now let's take what dwelling. We say dwelling, right? Let's take what that dwelling also means. Praise the name of the Lord. To dwell means to remain. To dwell means to abide. To tarry. God bless you, sir. It means to make a habitation. Basically, dwelling implies consistency, not visitation. Psalm 91 verse 1 gives us another example of that. It doesn't mean a place of visitation. Listen, logos can be the base. You can visit your logos, agreed. But when it comes to rhema, it is not visitation. It is dwelling. You continue with it until another word comes and changes. You keep dwelling. You keep dwelling and you keep dwelling. It is continuous. You make the word become your habitation. Oh yeah. Therefore, dwelling in the proceeding word means maintaining a sustained and disciplined and responsive relationship with God. I take this definition again. Dwelling in the proceeding word means maintaining a sustained, comma, yes, let's remove this and, comma, disciplined and responsive relationship with God's ongoing communication. Ongoing. Can I take this again? It's like some people didn't get it. I say maintaining a sustained, disciplined, and responsive relationship with God's ongoing communication. People of God, listen. Listen to me. If somebody is making a sentence and you hear that sentence halfway and you leave, you have not actually gotten the substance of what that person said. It means you have what is called half-truth. And that half-truth is more deadly than a lie. That half-truth can kill you. People of God, now listen. So it means dwelling in the proceeding word means you should have the discipline to continue to hear God at all times. So that the communication you're having with God, the ongoing communication, you don't have a break. What causes this break? We'll touch about that. But listen, people of God, it means you shouldn't have a break in the communication. It is an ongoing communication. In theology, when you look at this word, proceeding word, according to theologians, they gave it about four different definitions. I'll just rush through them. They say, what are the basis for proceeding word? They say, number one, life is sustained by God's ongoing speech. Life itself is sustained by God's ongoing speech. So a friend of mine once said that why is it that when God was creating the earth and he said, let there be, he would have just left it there. let there be. And it came. And then he saw that it was good. Listen, these things were processes. There was a process of when it was said. There was a process of when it was formed. There was a process when it came to be. There was a process of God seeing, supervising what he said. And then there was a process for analyzing it. And then there was a process for him to give a verdict on it. And he said, it was good. Or rather, it is good. So that is the process. So life is sustained by God's ongoing communication or God's ongoing work. Number two, they say, the proceeding words bring direction. And the example that was given here is that if a man is going, if somebody is going to Akwanga or Abuja from here, and I tell you that Abuja is this way, and you just enter your car and begin to move this way, there is a high possibility that you might not get there. Because you are this way, you will go to a place where there is a T-junction or a cross-junction. Now, where do you proceed from there? You need another word to give you a direction. Life's journey is not a straight journey. In Hausa, they say, Hanya Allah yafi hanyo nyin kiari. It means that the word of God is far more than the lines in a net. You know those nets? You know, if you put point A on a mosquito net or something, a net like this, and you're looking at from point A to maybe point B here, there are so many routes you can trace because of the junctions and this thing. They say the ways of God are more than those. So you need a direction. Oh God, where do I follow? Oh God, where do I do? What do I do today? Oh God, what are you saying? Speak, Lord. Your servant's ears are open. Now, this is what we mean by the proceeding word. Your ears shall hear the word of God. Your ears shall hear the word of God in the name of Jesus. The proceeding word clarifies seasons. Clarifies seasons. The spoken word prevents costly mistakes. The word of God, the proceeding word clarifies seasons. And then it prevents costly mistakes. And it preserves destiny. Many errors in life are not actually moral errors. They are what are called directional errors. Hi. I was speaking to a young man. And he read a course in school. And when I asked him, he spent 4 years. I don't look down on any course of study by the grace of God. God can use anything you study to bless you. I'm not against that. But he ended up studying what is called local government administration. And I'm sure some of you are already thinking like I thought. You went to the university and you study local government administration. If it be federal government administration, safe. At least we will understand. You study local government administration. The first question I asked him, when you enter to study this, what do you intend to become in future? That was the first question I asked him. Hallelujah. Local government chairman is by appointment too. I elections too. God bless you, sir. It's just not our own. It's usually by appointment. Hallelujah. But truly, it's by election. So you see, you cannot go. You know, somebody that studies political science and you want to be a politician, it might not work. How many people study political science in politics? But like I said, no course should be underrated in any sense. All right? But listen. The boy came out and he was lamenting that he wasted his years in school. Now, this is what we are saying. The word of God gives you direction. It helps you to avoid costly mistakes. And when we were talking, he said he's going back. I just asked him, I said, brother, while you are thinking of going back, just look for something you can do. Because for you to go back and start afresh, with the Nigerian academic settings, if ASU not knock you like three years extra to the 4 years you want to do, one or two NLC strike will... Oh, Father, help us. Nigeria is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Why believers must dwell in the preceding word? This is another heading. Why believers must dwell in the preceding word? Number one, because seasons change. Because seasons change. Doc, is it well? Is this well? All right. God's dealing are progressive. That's under point one now. We say, why believers must dwell in the preceding word? And we say, one, point one of that is that because seasons change. Now, I'm explaining under seasons change, okay? God's dealings are progressive. What he emphasizes is one season. What he emphasizes in one season may not be emphasized in another. People of God, God can ask you to buy umbrella in the rainy season. He might not tell you to buy the umbrella in the dry season. All right? He might tell you to buy a raincoat in the rainy season. But he wouldn't tell you that in the dry season. Praise be the name of the Lord. So, because seasons change, there are words for every day. People of God, we all know that there is a time to sow, and there is a time to reap. There is a planting season. There is a time to, for Gilby. What is that Gilby? Cultivation, I mean, what do you call it? There is a time for that one. Every season in life comes at its own time. So the preceding word, why you must dwell in it, is because seasons change. There is a word for every season. Can I have Ephesians 3 verse 1? It says, for in everything there is a season. In everything there is a season. It means, people of God, whatever you pass through in life, there is a season for it. There is a time for plenty, and there is a time for lack. And there is a word for you when you are in plenty. There is a word for you when you are in lack. He said, to this cause, I, Paul, to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. You see, for as much as you have purpose, a purpose can change for at a time. You are doing this for this, and you change this because of this. So there is a word for every purpose and every season. Praise be God. Number two, we're looking at why we must dwell in the preceding word, right? Why believers must dwell in the preceding word. And we say, number one, because seasons change. Number two, because assignment requires precision. Because assignment requires precision. Oh, goodness God, Father, help us here. Paul encountered Jesus in Acts 9, but he required ongoing revelation to fulfill his apostolic assignment. Galatians 1, 11 and 12, please. See, but the things of God must be done precisely. Can we read it? Yes. But I certify you, brethren. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. People of God, that revelation is precise. There is how Jesus is faithful. An encounter introduces you to God, but instruction establishes you in destiny. People of God, listen to this very well. An encounter introduces you to God, like Paul had. Paul had an encounter, and that encounter introduced him to God, meaning that he built what was called logos, because he had an understanding, a word base of who God was. So there was already an introduction to God. And what does that mean? Instruction establishes you in destiny. Meaning, instruction is the rhema. Instruction is what you should do per time. It is what establishes you in destiny. It is very precise. Number three, why should a believer dwell in the preceding word? Number three, because spiritual authority flows from light. Because spiritual authority flows from light. Hmm.
Authority in the spirit is not a function of age nor zeal. It is a function of illumination. People of God, we spoke about what is called logos. And we say logos is your word base. Now, as much as that word base is not becoming a rhema per season in your life, it means that light has not shone on that logos. So that logos might not be useful for you as a person. People of God, light on the word of God means when you have the proceeding word, when you have the proceeding understanding of that scripture, in that season. A brother was about to divorce his wife. And I didn't even know. So by chance, I just stumbled by him on Facebook. So I now sent him. I saw, you know, this Facebook, when somebody is online, that green dot that shows it's active. And it's been ages we met. So I just threw a word at him. I said, "Ah, brother, how are you?" He said, "I'm fine. Oh, how is the family and all? Well, everything cut." Then and I said, "Kai, I said, do you know I've even forgotten how your wife looks like now? Because it's over 20 years we met last." So he now said that he's planning of a divorce. I said, "Why?" He said, "Man of God, you will not understand." I said, "Truly, this platform might not be enough for us to actually understand each other." But I now asked him, "Tell me who divorce helped for Bible." The only question. "Tell me who divorce helped for Bible." He stood quiet. I thought he would have used Vashti and Esther. I thought he would have touched there. But I asked him, "Tell me who divorce helped for Bible." I say, "If the thing is not threatening to life," I say, "My brother, if it is not threatening to life," I say, "one day we will go before a great white throne. And we will stand before him to give account of everything we have done." I say, "My brother, if what is throwing you into this divorce is something that you can avoid or she can avoid, and both of you refuse," I say, "there is a day of reckoning." I say, I drop my case. 3 days later, this brother called me and said, "Pastor, where are you?" I said, "I'm in Abuja." He said, "I'm coming." And when he came, he sat down. He cried and cried and cried. And you know what he told me? He said, "That word you gave me was just what I needed." The word, he knew it. But at that time, that season, that word I just said became his rhema. It is not even scripture, what I said, though. But I just used the scripture as a yardstick. I didn't quote. You will not find what I said in the scripture. Okay? But just that word I said became his rhema. Became his revelation. Became what brought about his deliverance. People of God, if you have the logos and you don't know the application, light has not come. Now, how do you dwell in the proceeding word? How do we dwell in the proceeding word? How do we dwell in the proceeding word? Number one, through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. God. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of God's present speakings. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of God's present speaking. Can I have John 16:13? John 16:13. And intimacy is cultivated through what? Prayer. Intimacy is cultivated through prayer. It is cultivated through what? Worship. It is cultivated through meditation. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak from God. What he hears. And he will show you things to come. It is the Holy Spirit that will show you things to come. Direction. It is the Holy Spirit that will show you things that you need to know. Number two. How to dwell in the word of God. In the preceding word, through scriptural alignment. Scriptural alignment. Logos is the boundary, while rhema is the application of the word. God, you must align with this. Then number three, even as I speed up, let me add speed to this. Number three, through spiritual sensitivity and stillness.
Be still and know that I am He. I am God. Number three, true spiritual sensitivity and stillness. Somebody calls this discernment. And then number four, through obedience. Through obedience, James 1:22. Through obedience, people of God, listen to me very well. Our major problem is not that we don't have the logos. Our major problem is that we know how to flow into the rhema. But the thing is that we do not apply it at the right seasons. Can we rise even as we pray? Can we rise? Our time is well spent. Praise be the name of the Lord. And this scripture tells us that be ye doers. Listen, people of God, when the word comes to you, it comes as logos. But in the application of this word, it becomes rhema. So this scripture says, be ye doers of the word. It means when the word comes, you must put it into an action. The Bible says, and the word came, and the word became flesh, and it dwelt amongst us. You must be able to convert that word to become an action word, to become a verb, a proceeding word. It might come as a noun, but it should leave you, it should be in you as a verb. It says, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It means that even when the word is upon your life and you do not have an application of the word, you are deceiving yourself. Can we ask God for an illumination of His word in our lives? Can we ask God for the opening of His word in our hearts?